This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
David Ruhlman is a friend of mine from Washington, D.C. I met him in 2010. We've actually become good friends over the last 6 years. He just was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. He's in the Cancer Treatment Center of America in Atlanta. Went from Washington, D.C. down to Atlanta. That's where they sent him. When Annie and I were in Atlanta a few weeks ago for meetings, I went over to the hospital and spent a couple hours with David and his wife, prayed with them. I want you to listen to what he wrote recently about a recent day of chemotherapy. It's a powerful story out of a person's life. Tuesday was a full day, starting at 7 a.m., ending at 4, with 5 hours of chemo. Aggressive hiccups has been the history so far, what's going on. Irritating and tiring with 15 rounds of hiccups following the first two chemo sessions. Drink from the far side of the cup, hold your breath, scare yourself, take antipsychotic pills or pills for pregnancy. Strange, but some people think effective from the counsel I received. But Jesus handled things in such a different way. I've always loved his short prayers, David said. To the storm, be quiet. To the dead, get up. To the demons, get out. To the sick, be healed. He spoke directly to the problem and told it what to do. He moved in authority, bringing the order of the invisible realm into the chaos of that which is visible, a shadow of what's real. Now, you may not believe what I'm going to tell you. I believe David's telling the truth when he said that constantly hiccuping. He's having a chemo treatment on Tuesday, and the chemo tech is administering the chemotherapy, and he's so frustrated with his hiccuping that out of frustration, if nothing else, David just blurted out, in the name of Jesus, stop it. And you can believe this or not, but David said the hiccup stopped. And for the entire rest of the session, much to the amazement of the chemo tech, there was no hiccuping. David is just that kind of guy to call upon the Lord in a moment of frustration. And in that case, you can say, well, it was psychological. It was a coincidence. That's fine. The important thing to David was that they stopped. They stopped. Today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Luke, exactly where I left off last week, where Jesus speaks to two different groups of people. So do I. Jesus talked to people who came for two different reasons to hear him. I speak to people who come for different reasons to hear the Lord's message. And thirdly, he dealt with two types of problems. So do you and so do I. We're going to talk about all three of those pairs today. It's in Luke 6, beginning at verse 17, exactly where I left off last Sunday. He went down with them, Jesus did, and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled or vexed, is the King James word, those troubled or vexed by evil spirits or unclean spirits were cured. And the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all.
Well, a dramatic passage from Luke, Luke 6. The message is entitled Troubles with a capital T. It continues tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
I want to look at the two groups of people, first of all. Luke says there were people who were disciples, meaning followers of Christ, and then there were a large multitude, a mixed multitude of people from surrounding areas. I realize that every time I preach, I'm talking to people who would consider themselves a disciple or follower of Jesus Christ. But I also realize that both here and on the radio, I'm talking to people who aren't necessarily a disciple. They wouldn't necessarily consider themselves a disciple. But they're interested in knowing something. They're interested in finding out something about the Bible. They're interested in finding out something about this Jesus. And people do come out of curiosity. I know that for a fact. In having talked to people, people come out of curiosity. And then it says they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. I think there's a lot of truth for that in 2016. People who come to hear a word from the Lord through his word, not from me, but through his word. And secondly, people come to be healed. You say physically? Not necessarily. Some of you got a bigger problem in your life that needs to be healed that has nothing to do with cancer or a heart problem or anything. You have a marriage that needs to be healed. You got a relationship with a son or daughter, a grown son or daughter, that needs to be healed. And the most potent word you could use to describe what needs to happen is the word healing. Restoration, coming to wholeness. That's what healing means, coming to wholeness. You got friendships that need to be healed. You got relationships at work that need to be healed. So I'm just saying that every day I'm talking to people who come to hear, but also come because there's something in that man's life, that woman's life, that needs to be healed. Some of you know who Warren Wiersbe is. Warren Wiersbe used to preach in Covington, Kentucky years ago. He's a speaker on the Back to the Bible Hour, I think, for years. He wrote a book that really had an impact on my life 20 years ago. A book called Preaching and Teaching with Imagination. He actually has an imaginary story in the book that was so powerful for me. I've never been the same in terms of my preaching after hearing this story. And some of you will think it's a silly story, but it's not. It's powerful. He tells about an imaginary person called Grandma Thatcher. She's an elderly lady who comes to church in pain, physical pain, emotional pain. You see, her unbelieving husband has sent her off to church with his cursing ringing in her ears. She's leaving for church, and her husband's cursing her just as she goes out the door. She has prayed that fuel prices will not go up in the winter, and if it weren't for the Lord and her Bible, she would have given up long ago. Pastor Bowers, her minister, steps into the pulpit, and as he does, Grandma Thatcher prays silently, "Lord, give him something special to say to my need. Give him something special to help me. I need it." And Warren Wiersbe says, Pastor Bowers gets up in the pulpit and he has a well-crafted sermon. He has a great outline. It would impress every seminary professor who ever read it. But it did nothing to help Grandma Thatcher. Nothing. Didn't speak to her issues. Not that he had to speak specifically to her problems, but she left with nothing to help her, nothing to bless her, nothing to encourage her. And Warren Wiersbe said, just because you preach a great sermon doesn't mean you've helped anybody.
Well, certainly words that spoke to me back in 1994-95 when I read the book. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you as you listen tomorrow.
And Warren Wiersbe said, just because you preach a great sermon doesn't mean you've helped anybody. You know, that changed my thinking that every Sunday when I speak, hopefully somebody said, I was helped today. God spoke to my heart today. God touched on an issue with my life, and I believe that when you commit to doing that, God can do that. God has that kind of power and capability. People came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured because all the people tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. In the first service, I told a story by Colin Smith, who was a minister from London, England, Enfield, a suburb of London, and he ministered in Chicago, not far from where I grew up, for a number of years. He tells about being in a state, one of the 26 states in India, in northern India. It's called Uttar, U-T-T-A-R, Pradesh. It's in far northern India. Get this, this is one state of India, has 140 million people. I don't know how many people live in Ohio, but can you imagine 140 million in one state? There's over a billion people, 1.2 billion people live in India. It's pretty crowded, to say the least. There's only one church that we would call a Christian church for every million people. Let me translate that for you. If that same percentage would hold true with Cincinnati, Dayton area, that would be about three, maybe four churches for the whole Southwest Ohio. Can you believe that? If that's all there would be in terms of churches in Southwest Ohio, Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati, Dayton, the surrounding environs, three or four churches. And what was struck me was what Colin Smith said they're teaching the preachers of those 140 churches. Get this, here's how they teach them to preach. They teach them to memorize and internalize 50 Bible stories. That's it. They don't have time to put them in seminary. They teach them 50 Bible stories. And they say, learn these stories, learn to quote them from memory. And they found that when those people can tell the Bible stories, the prodigal son, Adam and Eve, the story of the flood, and the typical Bible stories that you would tell a child, then they use those stories as the clothesline, Colin Smith says, to hang everything else on. But people communicate in India to people who've never heard of the Bible, had never heard of Christ, by telling them the Bible stories. I found that fascinating. People come to hear, and God uses the storyteller. God uses the storyteller in Uttar Pradesh, India, to lead people to Christ. What's it mean they were troubled by evil spirits? I did some research one time where I looked up every, in a little handheld Franklin computer that I have, every usage of the word spirit. And I wanted to know what words are used preceding the word spirit. I found bitter spirits back in 1 Samuel. Angry spirit. I found a provoked spirit. I looked that up. What's it mean when a person has a provoked spirit? And the commentator said it's a person who's already mad, already ticked, and they're just waiting for you to provoke the anger. It's called a provoked spirit. I found a word that was intrigued me, an injurious spirit. People who are interested in hurting other people, not necessarily physically, but emotionally. You know why that relates to people? Because you got somebody in your family that has an injurious spirit.
Well, all this week, a message from Luke 6, 17 to 19, where Jesus spoke to two different crowds, people who were disciples and people who just came from all over to hear what he had to say. He spoke to two groups of people who needed to be healed of their diseases and people who were troubled by evil spirits. We talked about that yesterday, and we continue that thought line about being troubled or vexed by evil spirits. Does that speak to you at all? Psychologically, emotionally, or spiritually? Let's continue from Luke 6.
I found a word that was intrigued me, an injurious spirit. People who are interested in hurting other people, not necessarily physically, but emotionally. You know why that relates to people? Because you got somebody in your family that has an injurious spirit, who takes delight in hurting people emotionally, hurting somebody verbally. I found there's a spirit of prostitution that was having to do with immorality. There were all kinds of different spirit, a drunken spirit, all these words used. And what it tells me is there's a multitude of troubling spirits in people's lives in 2016. And if you're honest, there may be a troubling spirit in your home, in your life, where you work, where you go to school, troubling spirits. And my point is this, Jesus took authority as the Son of God over disease and the troubling spirits, and people were cured of them. My point is this, if Jesus claims to be the answer and have authority over the demonic and over death itself and over disease, why would you want to be hooked up with anything or anyone else in the world? Why would you want to be hooked up with anybody? other than Jesus Christ, who has all authority and all power. I want to go back to the story that I told you of David Ruhlman, because there was something I didn't quote in the first service. Eternal life is to know Jesus. I'm getting to know him more and more through my cancer. I am becoming more passionate and hungry for more of his presence and to go deeper into the knowledge of him and to comprehend the beauty of his holiness. Jesus said, if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Do you need cancer before you come to a desire to have the Lord? Do I need that? Do you need a medical crisis and then you'll seek the Lord like David is doing in his life right now? It doesn't have to be that way. You make a decision. It's an act of the will. You decide, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to believe in him. Annie and I had a discussion this week about this, that I believe that people have to come to the place where even if they're not sure about what they believe about Jesus, that they say, I'm going to go ahead and make the decision to believe. And I think God then responds to that and affirms that decision and confirms it and works in their life. I really do. It's when a man says, you know what? I don't have it all figured out, but I'm going to trust Christ. A woman says, I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to decide to believe in Jesus. And you, something happens. God honors the faith and the belief of a person who says, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I'll trust you to fill in the blanks later. And I believe he will. That's not naive. That's reality. What do you need to trust Jesus to do in your life? You came to hear him today. You need healing in your heart, where healing really takes place in your spirit and in your soul. He's the one who offers it. He's the one who provides it through his death on the cross and through the hope that he gives in everyday life.
Well, if healing means coming to wholeness, does that speak to you at all about something in your life that needs to come to wholeness? Our website is crossover.org.
Ray Bennett, I misquoted the person who told the story. Ray Bennett was an engineer with Boeing, aerospace engineer who now works for Navigators, the Christian organization known as Navigators. But he has a degree in aerospace engineering, working on planes at the Boeing plant in Seattle. He said a few years ago, a movie was made about a young couple and their baby who were lost in the mountains. On their way to Idaho, Jim and Jenny Stolpa, S-T-O-L-P-A, attempted to cross the mountains in Northern California during a heavy snowstorm. When the highway patrol closed the interstate, they left it and took an alternative route. Big mistake. Big mistake. Eventually, they became snowbound. Stranded on a lonely road 50 miles from the nearest town, they had no provisions, no means of communication, no cell phone. After 4 days of waiting in their truck with a little baby for help, they gave up hope of being found. Checking a map, they decided to walk 18 miles across country with their baby in search of a road that might lead to help. After walking all day and night in deep snow, they found no sign of a road. Meanwhile, their parents aggressively marshaled all the resources at their disposal to help search for their children. Police, Forest Service, and news media personnel were all part of a team effort to search and rescue. Back in the mountains, Jim and Jenny had now been snowbound for 6 days. Their last desperate plan was for Jim to set out alone, leaving Jenny and the baby in a small cave. Jim hoped to backtrack to their abandoned truck and from the truck walk 50 miles to the nearest town. I mean, just unbelievable proposition. On the 8th day of their ordeal, as Jim was stumbling down a lonely road, a rancher was out checking his cattle, found him. Dehydrated and frostbitten, Jim was taken to a cabin and eventually to a hospital. Before Jim was driven down to the local hospital, the rancher got a faint description of the route Jim had taken. With a few of his friends, he set out in a blizzard to find Jenny and the baby. Almost miraculously, they found the baby and Jenny in the cave. Now, Ray Bennett says, this is a story of modern day people in the United States of America. He believes that the average person who doesn't know Christ in the United States of America is lost in the mountains, quote unquote. And he believes that they need to be rescued, just like Jim did and his wife and the baby. They had to be rescued. They couldn't find their way out of the mountains. They had to be rescued by a rancher and a ranger. And he said, Christian people are people who live in the valley, and the church is in the valley, and we go out to rescue the people from the mountains. What kind of mountains? And he describes it in this way. We have people that live in the snowdrifts in the mountains of secularism, people who live in the mountains of skepticism, and people who live in the mountains of narcissism. They need to be rescued from that. And it takes the power of God to rescue people. And I found it an interesting analogy that the body of Christ were the rangers and the ranchers who go out and rescue people in the name of Christ. Remember, Jesus had two groups of people that came to hear him. The disciples, the followers, and the others, the multitudes. They came to hear Jesus, to hear what he had to say, but they came to be healed because subconsciously, if nothing else, they needed to be healed, just like you do and just like I do. And he dealt with two kinds of problems, physical problems, but people who were troubled by spirits that troubled their lives and their marriages and their relationships, just like you and just like me.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.